And they said, "What do you mean?" And I started telling them, you know, that I had a word, and I've had it for a little bit of time, but I've really struggled with this one. And, you know, the reason being is because it's Christmas, right? I mean, Christmas season. And I'm sure if you would probably go to 90% of all internet streams over this month, you're going to hear about some form of Christmas. Well, unfortunately, I'm in the 10%. So, but I'm being obedient, because obedience is better than sacrifice, right? And I'm saying, "Lord, well, you know what you're doing." And actually, when Elizabeth was sharing, she kind of hit on a key point. And I said, "Wow, that's not what I'm preaching about," but you intertwined that actually in the service. Lord, thank you for that. We're going to be in Genesis 9:20. Again, this is not like something I sat at home, tried to figure out what I could preach today. This is this title, this message was put in my heart, and I've been throwing it back as much as I can, and it just keeps coming back to the place where here we are now, and Holy Spirit, you're in control. You lead, you communicate what you want today, in Jesus' name. Genesis 9:20, "And Noah began to be a farmer." Now, this is after they had come out of the ark and God had declared to Noah and his family all of the promises that he was going to uphold, that being, you know, the sign of the covenant, the rainbow, that being that they were going to be fruitful and multiply the earth, because they were the new beginning after this end of the previous mankind as they knew it, and their family and those animals were going to be the next start. And I don't know, and I don't want to get into what, you know, about the flood and, you know, and all the aspects of that. I want to get to the point that this is really now the first story or the first beginning of record of mankind, okay, as their new start as Noah's family. And it says, "And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard." So, how many of you have been farmers? This just happened, you know, in like 2 minutes, because, you know, we read it, it sounds like it's 2 minutes. He planted a vineyard, so that had to take some time before the vineyard was starting to produce fruit, right? And it says that, "And when he planted this vineyard, he drank of the wine and was drunk." So we know that this also had to take place after some aging process for these grapes, right? So this may have been 3 or 4 or 5 years after they had stepped out of the ark. But the Lord wanted us to hear this account for whatever reason. And I believe today it's going to give us a revelation of a heart we need to have. It says, "Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and he became uncovered in his tent." Some translations say he became naked in his tent. He was, for whatever reason, totally disrobed in his tent. In his tent. "And Ham, the father of Canaan, one of Noah's three sons," he's the youngest, "saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside." So Noah plants this vineyard, ages these grapes, and gets drunk. And then in his tent, under his drunkenness, he becomes naked. Now remember when she was sharing covering nakedness? Listen. "But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness." I feel like praying again. I'm going to pray again. Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal to us the truth, God, that you have here today. We do not want to rest on our own understanding, lean on our understanding. God, we want to hear your voice. God, we want to hear what you're saying to us as a people. We want to hear what you're saying to us, God, as a congregation, as a family of believers. God, open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, Lord, to see the truth, God, that's being poured out here today, God, by your Spirit. Lord, we're exposing ourselves to you our hearts right now. We're saying we need, God, the truth. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, reveal your truth to us for this day that you want us to live in, this day that you want us to change. Help us to be, Lord, obedient to that word. Help us, God, to not just be hearers of the word, God, but doers, God. Help us to be not the ones that look at themselves in the mirror and walks away and forgets what they look like, Lord. Help us to be the ones who hear the word and live that word. God, there's so much contradiction. There's so much noise out there, Lord, of so many different things. Let your truth reign in our hearts. Let every word that is from man that's not lined up with your word be counted as a liar, Lord, and let your word be the truth, God, that we live by, that we walk by, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ham was a son of Noah, and just as his other two brothers, I'm sure he was raised by his father of how to live, how to respect others, how to honor others. Probably was told by him that, you know, God requires us to honor our father and our mother, so I'm sure he had those guidelines to go with. You know, like we hear a lot of things, you know, in the word, we hear lots of things we're supposed to do and lots of ways we're supposed to act, and we don't always act like that, do we? But what Ham does is he somehow sees his father in his not so glorious state. Some would say, you know, an unrighteous state. I mean, he's gotten drunk, he's gotten naked, and it's an awkward situation. But he doesn't do the right thing here. He doesn't honor his father. He doesn't do the thing that would be considered to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Because his father's even more than his neighbor, but he should at least love him enough to help him not be exposed. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't just, you know, look himself, you know, and you know, in that unholiness, you know, by gazing at his father. He goes and he tells his brothers, hey, you're not going to believe this. Dad got drunk and now he's naked in his tent. Come look at him with me. That's what he does. And his brothers honor their father. And I think it's amazing that it really took two to do this. Because what they did is they took a garment, one put it on his right shoulder and held the garment, one put it on his left shoulder, and this garment was like this, and they walked backwards all the way. They didn't just cover his nakedness, they didn't let their eyes be exposed to their father's nakedness. Then it says, so Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, excuse me a second. Then he said, cursed be Canaan. That was the going to be a future son or heir of Ham. He called him, cursed be Canaan, servant, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brethren. And then he goes and he blesses Shem and Japheth. Now some of you are saying, well, Pastor Mike, what's this have to do with me? I'm glad you asked. Thank you for asking. Or maybe you thought that. Thank you for thinking that. Turn with me to 1 Peter 4:8. Actually, we could start in verse 7. 1 Peter 4:7-8. Verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And then he says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Somehow, Shem and Japheth had this in their heart. They had a fervent love for their father. And they didn't line up with Ham and say, oh yeah, let's go in there and let's see what's going on, see how dumb our father was and how exposed he is. No, they honored their father. They didn't even let their eyes see his condition. And you know, folks, we live in a day of exposés. It is part of the culture of exposing another person's indiscretions. As a matter of fact, I think that's what most of media news thrives on, is other people's indiscretions, other people's failures, other people's faults, other people's sins. And I'm telling you, as the people of God, we're not to be that way. We're not to have hearts like that. We're not to let someone else come to us and start to expose our brothers and sisters in Christ's condition to the place where it's then publicly exposed. And again, I don't know if the Lord is talking to, you know, an individual, a group, or something's going on. Again, I'm just following the Holy Spirit's leading here. It's nothing that I've heard from anybody. I want to make that perfectly clear. It's not like I've, you know, as a pastor, been going, oh man, I got to preach about this. That's not the case at all. The Lord has put this on my heart. So if you're thinking that someone's told me something, I'm just telling you, that's not the case. But this is important for us to get. Fervent love. That's a stretching love. That fervent is the same word that was used when they were praying for Peter to be released out of prison. Unceasingly, not giving up. And how many know when you see another brother or sister in a crisis, in a sin, it takes all the love of God to help restore them and to not expose them? Why is this so important? Because it deals, if we are exposing him, it deals with our own heart, not theirs. It exposes us. When we expose them, we're exposing our own depravity. We're exposing that we've got issues going on in our lives. I was telling somebody the other day, when a person's judged, the Bible says that they've judged themselves. But when a person's judging others and they do it publicly, it's most likely, I believe, because they're under judgment. Yes. And so they're trying to take the weight of their own judgment and put it on someone else. Instead of saying, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I need your grace and I need your mercy in my life. See, because if we're saying, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I need your grace and your mercy in my life. Guess what we think to someone else? Lord, forgive them for what they've done. They need your grace and they need your mercy in their lives. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover. And yes, that word is cover. It literally means to cover up. You could say it means to hide. Now, somebody's saying, well, Pastor Mike, now you're not really being 100% truthful here, because if somebody was, you know, doing something and it's hurting others, and I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about truly where something needs to be brought to a leadership, an eldership needs to be corrected, but I'm talking about this gossiping. I'm talking about this backbiting. I'm talking about this slandering. I'm talking about this talebearing where we hear something and then we see something and we want to let others know so they know we're okay or that we're not them. I wonder what was going on in Ham's heart. I wonder if Ham exposed his father because that was Ham. I wonder if that's all Ham said was, I'm full of depravity. And here's someone just like me. where his brothers, in honor and love for their father, don't expose his nakedness and don't look at it. That's a purity of heart. And folks, that's living the gospel. That's not just mouthing it, that's living it. If we say we love our brothers, but then we go and expose them, that's not love. That's a mockery. That's hypocrisy. When we find out that someone is not, I guess, all perfect as we thought they were, our first goal should not be to announce how imperfect they are. Our first goal should be to find out how we can help them to grow in Christ. Not through a judgmental spirit, through love. Listen to this verse. I think this might help us. This is Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you could say man or woman of faith, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, cover their nakedness. Don't expose them. Do it in a way that you're not examining their condition, but that you're restoring them in love. You know, you've heard this before, and maybe some of you are new to fellowship and new to faith, but, you know, in war, the wounded, when they're hurt, are put on, I mean, literally, companies will stop sometimes for their wounded. That's why the enemy, especially for American soldiers and other ally soldiers, when their wounded were down, they would stop. They would lose two or three men to take care of that one wounded soldier. And so if they wounded someone, guess what? They're not fighting as many men anymore because they're taking care of the wounded one. And a lot of the enemies, they get somebody wounded, they just left them. They kept going. But our hearts of compassion, our hearts of honor and integrity would stay with our wounded. In the church, it hasn't been that way. Someone gets wounded, we take out a machine gun and shoot them even more. We yell at them, "You got wounded. How stupid was that?" I mean, there was a mine there. I saw the mine. We tell them what they did wrong. Do they need to hear that? No, what they need to hear is, where are you hurt? You need a bandage. Let's get a medic here. Let's start. I mean, the thing is, it's a heart. I believe that's what God wants to talk to us. Where is our heart? How do we view our brother and sister in Christ? Do we view them as somebody that we love and we do everything we can when they fall to restore them? Or do we, as long as they're, I guess, a benefit to us and help our lives, then we're okay. But if they start to drag us down, what do we do? Again, this is the word, it's not me. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken, in other words, overpowered in this trespass, it's weighted them down to the place where they can't see up from down, down from up. They're overtaken. And how many know that we don't war against flesh and blood? They're in a supernatural battle that they're losing at the moment. And us who are spiritual, what? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God living in us, moving in us, giving us the energy to live outside of that trespass right now. Maybe we could go back and look on our past and say, yeah, there are many times that the devil snared me, fiery darts got me, traps got me. But right now I'm free. Right now I've got the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I should restore them in a spirit of love, fervent love. The kind of love that lays down their life for their brethren. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I think that's interesting, though. Considering yourself. In other words, you go and you see them. You don't consider your own self. You just, you know, you look at them, you judge them, you view. You don't have that gentle heart. Folks, I think you're setting yourself up for the test. I've seen it many times where people have judged a certain person for a certain thing. And I mean, it was a harsh judgment. And sure enough, if not too much further down the road, they get tested in the same way. And sometimes fail in like manner. Thank you, Lord. I think it all boils down to here, whose side are we on? Listen to this, Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." That's what Ham was. He was accuser of his father. "Look what he's done, guys. Come see this. What a dumb..." You know, I mean, who knows what he said. But his brothers were not accusers. They were restorers. They went in an attitude of restoration. Hearts of restoration. Can you imagine what that looks like? What does that look like to us spiritually to do this to someone? I mean, that's a huge picture for us to paint from now on. I'm not looking at them, but I'm blessing them. Because except for the grace of God, that might be me laying there. And then the verse 11 that we love to quote after that, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." You can go ahead and stand with me. I don't know what category we have fallen into today, or you have fallen today, I've fallen into today. But obviously, for whatever reason, the Lord wanted me to share about this. And it would really bless me if someone at some point comes up and tells me, "That spoke to me, Pastor." Or something that was going to happen is broken. That will still be satisfying enough to me. But I believe that God wants us to be, as I said here so many times, real Christians, real men and women of faith that do the hard things, that don't see the same thing that the world does and just immediately duplicate it, but live lives of faith, as hard as it may be. Because I know if we'll be the ones that will stay behind and bring our brother and sister back to restoration, we're not only going to do an honorable thing, but I believe God in that process is going to strengthen us, secure us, fortify us, so that when we're back in the battle, supernaturally we're empowered so that we're not going to fall on the same mind. I don't do altar calls very often, but for some reason I feel like this one is necessary. I'm just going to say, if this has touched your heart, if you've realized that there's been a root in you that maybe, you know, the enemy's used at times to gets you to accuse others or gets you to expose someone else's nakedness instead of in an attitude of mercy and love, fervent love, compassion, selflessly walk backwards and cover them. And I encourage you to come up and I'll pray with you. Because I believe God wants to do something that's going to be significant in your life, that it is not going to continue to affect you. It's not going to continue to be an Achilles heel to you. It's not going to continue to be something that in the coming days and months and weeks and years, you constantly keep tripping over. He wants to set us free. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you see our hearts. And Lord, we want to do, God, so many times the right thing. But Lord, sometimes these hearts are wicked. Sometimes they do things that we later on go, why did I do that? Holy Spirit, do your work in these vessels right now. Let their hearts be purified by your hand. Let your glory be released into these lives, Lord, that purge out every root, God, that's not of you, in Jesus' name. I release, God, what you want to do in each life right now, in Jesus' name. Let your glory fall on these vessels. Lord, let them be purified, made right with you, Lord. Let their thinking be right in alignment with the Word of God, Lord. That when they see, Lord, their brothers and their sisters, God, in that state, Lord, that they are not the accusers, God, but they are the coverers, God. They help cover that multitude of sins, Lord, and bring their brothers and sisters back to restoration, to a place of wholeness, to a place of right standing with you once again, to a place of fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, teach us how to be those right standing ones, Lord, that will defend our brothers and sisters, God, against the accusations of the enemy, God. And believe, Lord, for your very best in their life. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pause because the Holy Spirit's doing a deep work in someone right now. I don't want to interfere with that. So just pray with me that God would have his perfect way right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, He's changing us from glory to glory. And sometimes those changes are uncomfortable. Sometimes they hurt. But it's because we're being changed in His glory that we should embrace those challenging, hurtful times He brings into our lives. If you didn't come up here today, that doesn't mean God didn't touch you. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let him say, well, you didn't go up there when Pastor Mike said that. No. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God touched you. Now you just go and you walk and live in that new revelation of what it means to be someone that covers someone else's nakedness instead of exposing them. And because of that, we can, as a body, know that we'll be healthier, we'll be stronger, we'll be able to be used by God in a greater way. We won't be imploding from the inside out. God bless you all. I love you. I'm so honored to be the man that the Lord has given for me to be the one saying, I think the Holy Spirit's leading us this way. And I want you to know that you have a call on your life. And as you open your door of your home and you let God in, He's going to start using you, not 10 years, 5 years, not 6 months. He can start using you tomorrow for His glory. Amen. You have a great week. Merry Christmas. I did say it.